Well, you know, I think one of the things that we've tried to do with RSG is to catch some of the rising stars in coaching. Tonight we have one of the outstanding coaches, I would say, at any level of college football. He's the head coach of the Division III Football National Champions, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater Warhawks, where he's had a 72-3 record over the past 5 years. He has three consecutive national championships and has just had an incredible run at Whitewater. Let's give a warm RSG welcome to Coach Lance Leipold. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well tonight. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Coach, I mean, I don't know where to begin with your success, but you have a record seven consecutive conference championships. The program has been to the Amos Alonzo Stag Bowl seven consecutive times, 44-game winning streak, which is fifth longest in NCAA history. Talk to us about how you have been able to kind of maintain this focus and keep your players motivated, understanding that these are not players who are on scholarship. How do you keep that level of excellence?
Well, I think one of the first things that we're awful proud of, I'd say from a head coaching position, is I think the job that our assistant coaches have done. You know, they stayed motivated and stayed focused, and I think the latter part of staying focused is what they've been able to translate to our players. And most of our coaches have been coaching in our league for a while. It's a very competitive, we feel, the strongest conference in Division III football. We're made up of all state universities with, large enrollments. There's not Division II football or football championship subdivision in this state of Wisconsin. And we feel there's a good talent level of players left. So with that, we know that each and every week can be very competitive, and we've from those of us that played in the league and those of us that coached for a while, we know that we've been beaten by almost every team along the way sometime in our career. So that focus of having to be ready each and every Saturday has been, you know, emphasized to our players, and I think they've really have bought into that.
You have an incredible player in Lavelle Coppedge. He rushed for over 2,000 yards this season and has done it in a way that has placed him third all time in terms of rushing leader in NCAA history. I mean, just an incredible player. Can you talk a little bit about Lavelle?
Well, Lavelle's been just an outstanding player for us in his 4 years, and we're going to definitely miss him as we head into the 2012 season. But Lavelle came on our campus, and, you know, after our first national championship in 2007, and we had an outstanding running back, and Justin Bieber won the Gagliardi Award, which is Division III Player of the Year, and everyone wondered what we were going to do to move on and replace him. And Lavelle Coppedge from the suburbs of Chicago came to UW-Whitewater and established himself right away as a starter as a freshman, and really never looked back. He had a slight ankle injury in the playoffs of his freshman year. He missed about 3.5 games. But other than that, stayed extremely healthy in his career. He's a little over 5'7", about 185 pounds, but great vision, great quickness, and I think the one of the only backs ever to be a four-time all-conference player, four-time over 1,000 yards in the regular season in 2000. Two 2,000-yard seasons made him just really a special back. And at the Division III level, definitely a difference maker and a key reason why we were able to win these last three national championships.
You know, as you're reflecting on the run that you've had, Lavelle is obviously someone that people pay attention to, but can you talk a little bit about some of the other players who have been impact players on your team?
Oh, boy, you know, there's probably a lot of unsung guys, especially up front in our offensive line, and it's been real interesting up there. This year we replaced four of the five starters in our offensive line and still have maintained consistency. But I think this year's team especially, Matt Blanchard was our starting quarterback. Matt started his junior season for us, started 10 games, broke his thumb in the last regular season game, missed the whole playoffs. Came back this year and led us to 15 victories and 25 starts as a quarterback. I think he threw 40 touchdown passes and only 6 interceptions in his career. You know, just managed the game extremely well for us. This year, our middle linebacker, Greg Arnold, was a great leader of our, you know, he missed about three games. When we got him back in the last regular season game, it really led a defense through the playoffs where we had a you know, giveaway, takeaway. We created 15 turnovers in the postseason, only turned the ball over one time. You know, those were the type of leaders that that we've had. You know, a couple, the year before, Aaron Roush was a wide receiver for us that, you know, set the school's all-time leading receiving yards. Jeff Shevler was an All-American kicker for us for three seasons, who was the NCAA leading scorer. And, you know, and we've been fortunate, guys, with the amount of games that we've played. We've had many players and so many to mention that that have played 60 football games in their careers. And I think that's what's been really outstanding about what our whole program has been able to accomplish. Maybe not so many individuals, is that, you know, it's one thing we've been able to sell in the recruiting aspect, is that if we're able to maintain what we've been doing, sometimes at the Division III level, a program may play 40 football games in a four-year period where, you know, we're one of the few schools that have been fortunate enough in Mount Union at our level that have played 60, and our kids have been able to really get two more years of playing time and been able to, you know, gain valuable experience. And then I guess a lot of times those things will show up statistically for our players as well.
Can you talk a little bit about the impact of your success on the community of Whitewater, Wisconsin? I think I don't know if people understand, and you talked a little bit about just the nature of college football in the state of Wisconsin and the fact that you don't have, you know, that high competition at the FBS level, and you play in a conference that is, you know, very competitive. Also, there's an impact on the community. Can you talk a little bit about what your success has meant to the community?
Well, I think, you know, one thing with any community, I think that's one of the benefits of athletics at any level, is that, you know, the work ethic and the sacrifice that athletics has. And I think what, again, then when you're successful, I'm a little biased, of course, being a football coach, but what it can do to start a school year, you know, and what it can do for a campus when things go well to start your fall and those things, and kind of transition into winter season and do those things. But I think in my 5 years back at Whitewater as an alum of the school, I've been, you know, I say this many times when I do some public speaking, is it makes me feel, you know, proud as an alum to see alums that have pride again in their university or reconnect with their university. I think that's something I think you would ask our development office, our alumni people that go out and meet people. I think that's one of the things our success has been able to do. There's also numbers that I've asked for from our admissions office. The years of our national championship, our first one, the next school year was our largest applicant pool to our university. And again, after these last three championships, it continues to rise. So I think, again, not solely because of our football program or athletics, but I think, again, it's been a positive. Our merchandising sales and things like that, for licensure product and things, those things have doubled since our first state bowl appearance. So, again, people want to buy, a Warhawk sweatshirt or T-shirt and again, to show the pride or the connection to it. So, again, those are little things that come across, but I think we have found on our campus that that this is benefiting a lot of people and hopefully the university as a whole. And as you said, we led the nation in Division III attendance this year in the regular season, just over 8,000 people. Again, that's a lot of people coming into a smaller community on a Saturday for the small college level. So, I hope a lot of the people that help support us in a lot of different ways within the community, I hope those businesses as well profit from that as well.
You listen to The Real Sports Guys. We're on with Lance Leipold, head coach of the University of Wisconsin Whitewater Warhawks, the Division III national champions. This has been an incredible run with this program here on realsportsguys.com. And, Coach, you have really navigated through the coaching ranks. You spent time at UW-Madison and at Nebraska-Lincoln. How have your different coaching stops shaped your coaching philosophy?
Well, I think I feel definitely blessed that for the opportunity it's been given to me. Ended my playing career and I started to get involved in coaching here at UW-Whitewater, and then had a chance at a coaching clinic to meet Barry Alvarez and had an opportunity in his second season as head coach of Wisconsin to get on as a graduate assistant coach. And I think, from a pure foundation of what, anyone that's familiar with Badger football and, the ability to run the football, the physicality of the defense, and even that Big Ten mentality, I think, has kind of been, ingrained in myself. And, from an offensive standpoint, in the running game of the zone running game, which Wisconsin has been very successful at for many years, is something that's been part of me. And when I moved down to Nebraska Omaha, we implemented it there. As part of a rebuilding program at the University of Nebraska Omaha, a program that had been down for a long time. We won one game in 1994, and by 1996, we had won 10 ball games. So Pat Burns was a man I worked for 10 years at two different stops and learned a lot from him. A lot of what I do as a head coach, after being with one person for 10 years, you implement a lot of those things. And of course, you mentioned University of Nebraska at Lincoln as well. To have the ability to be around a program with that type of tradition and just the way they go about business. And the one thing that I was in a non-coaching role there, kind of an administrative assistant, had a lot of the, I think they've changed a lot of those titles since then, handling a lot of that on-campus recruiting activity. And that really, I think, helped me. Because a lot of times as a head coach, you have to take a step away from the X's and O's sometimes and run a program. And I think some of that has benefited me to delegate some things within our program, at the same time help move the program in the right direction so we've been able to keep doing what we're doing.
You're on with The Real Sports Guy. We're on with Lance Leipold, head coach of the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater Warhawks. Coach, you're beginning the modified spring practice. What are you seeing right now? What are some of the things you're working on here in the spring? But given what you said about your players, I mean, some of these players have had long seasons when some of the other teams have been done for, a month or so. Your teams have been playing late into the season. How do you handle spring practice?
Well, I think the one thing about the long season, first, is that we haven't, we've really smart on that. We try to be smart anyway. People always think, head coaches are very smart. So our regular season, we have to be smart on how we practice and how we modify that. But you use the word modified, which I always kind of say too, for Division III football. We're not allowed to use helmets or shoulder pads or any really football equipment other than a football. So, what that really gets into is a lot of individual technique work, formations, alignments. You can work on routes and installation type, but it doesn't do a lot with the actual contact of what you see many times in spring football. And in the spring of 2007, I returned to Whitewater. I was like, what is this? I really didn't know what it was going to be about. I wasn't really aware of the rules back in when I was there. There wasn't even spring practice. But I think the unique thing about it that I liked it was we had about 80 guys out. Now we have about 100 out for spring practice. And, when you're a new coach and you got all these names and faces and then they put helmets on, it's hard to remember everybody. So the great thing about it was I could put faces with numbers right away. So that allowed me at least to learn the players really quickly. So that was good. But I've really come to enjoy this. It's very good because you do stay healthy. You do get to get some things done. Is it perfect? No. But at the same time, I like what we're able to get done. We talked earlier here about the length of our seasons, and those playoff practices have really been good for our younger players. And then when we step on the field here in April, I've really noticed that our retention has been really good because that long fall We've been able to kind of, you know, move at a pretty good pace of installation and keep the terminology growing in our offensive and defensive schemes. And then that really has helped us when we come back in August. So there's a lot of good about it. And like I said, and the big thing is that, you know, you might have a guy pull a muscle or something, but you don't have any of those real contact injuries that you have sometimes when you have normal spring practice.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about your incoming recruiting class and some of the players that you're looking to make an impact in 2012?
Well, I usually don't get a lot into names based on, you know, that they're all accepted in the school and everything, mm-hmm. because we don't mm-hmm. sign letters of intent. But, mm-hmm. you know, we've been able to, you know, we'll bring about 40 freshmen onto campus, and that's, you know, 35 to 40 has been usually the number that we deal with. We are limited in our conference with a 100-man roster, which, you know, a lot of times at Division III, smaller schools, private institutions, you know, football is also used as a recruiting for students, you know, and they have, you know, really large rosters. Well, us being a state institution and not you know, really having athletics for enrollment purposes, but just as a holistic to the college experience, we were limited through Title IX and other things to have a 100-man roster. But we're excited. We're able to our recruiting base is about 2 hours around, you know, Whitewater. We're about an hour from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, hour from Madison, Wisconsin. We go up what's called the Fox Valley, up through Appleton and Green Bay. We have a good alumni base there, and some excellent football played up through that way. And then we go down towards Chicago, into the suburbs of Chicago, and kind of hit there. Anything else that really comes our way is probably someone that's seeking themselves to UW-Whitewater, maybe athletically now that we've been able to be on national television, but more than likely there's an academic reason that they want to. And out of those 40 players, we're probably 50-50 this year with Wisconsin and Illinois recruits. And you know, we're excited about that and feel that we're able to address our needs and that, you know, finding offensive and defensive linemen are difficult at every level I've been at to make sure you have enough depth there. But we feel real excited about the quality of skilled athletes and the athleticism that we have at the skill positions as well.
I'm very familiar with, you know, Division III football and through my own personal experience. You know, there are always players who had the option. For some reason, they could think about going to junior college or Division II or whatever, but for some reason they decide, you know, Division III is a better fit. How do you talk to those players about the value of coming to play Division III football and what that means to their kind of their student kind of experience?
Well, I think, again, it's, you know, we're very rarely going to put someone in the NFL. And so, again, when somebody elects to do it, we may be even in our conference. Again, I've talked about some of the uniqueness of what we do is that, you know, our players buy their own shoes. I tell people they have to write a check to come to 2-a-days, the fall camp, to pay for their meals. So if they're going to do it, they must really want to do it. But I think all those things that any athlete goes through, the time commitment, the work, in preparation, and then to come to fall camp and do those things, it's just not about what happens on Saturdays in the athletic, you know, arena, so to speak, whether or not we win or lose or they score touchdowns. I think they're developing life skills and work ethic and teamwork and all the sacrifices that you have to make. But at the same time, at the Division III level, I think they have to maintain that balance and make sure that they're on top of academics as they're preparing, because there isn't all that academic support that sometimes are at bigger institutions. And we don't have a full staff of 9 assistant full-time coaches and strength coaches and all these things that sometimes can make it an individual one-on-one opportunity for our guys. So a lot of it has to be that they handle these things on their own, they mature on and off the field, and still leave with an outstanding experience.
Coach, we certainly enjoyed having you on Real Sports Guys. And, you know, what I would like to do is I'd love to have you come back during the season next year. And I'm sure you're going to be in the playoffs, but we'd love to have you come back and talk about your team and the success at that point. So hopefully you'll come back and join us.
Well, first of all, hopefully we can be in the playoffs. We got to make sure we keep taking it one at a time. But it, you know, we're definitely honored as a program to be on your show, and we would be pleased to do it anytime. And feel free to give us a holler again. And I look forward to visiting with all of you again here this coming fall.
All right. Well, good luck with your spring practice, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, Coach.
Thank you very much.
That was Coach Lance Leipold, head coach, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, Warhawks, national champions for this year in Division III. I believe it may have been four consecutive championships, but he has had an incredible record as a coach. And one of the things that we'd like to do is bring what we believe are rising stars in coaching. And we're looking everywhere to find me. Share it with you because that's the nature of who we are. So, Game Changer, I know you were sitting on the sidelines listening to the interview. I know you're very familiar with UW system and the sports, and particularly the Division III sports. What was your thoughts in terms of the interview?
Well, you know, Coach talked about, and again, thanks to Coach Leipold for joining us, but Coach talked about some real interesting aspects of the Division III culture in Wisconsin in particular. You know, I've grown up in Wisconsin, and you know, as he highlighted, there are no 1A schools or 1AA schools. Wisconsin is the only 1A school in football. There's no 1AA programs, no Division II programs. So in sports like both football and basketball, where you don't have a ton of options, the WIAC, which is the main Division III conference, is really like a Division II conference. You know, as far as the athletic quality. The players and the athletes that they get are a lot of kids who could go further from home and play Division II ball, but they want to stay in state. So because of that, they get a lot of quality athletes, and there are a lot of places in Wisconsin where there is some good football being played, and I think their success is a reflection of that. As he talked about his roster being pretty much 50-50 kids from Illinois, kids from Wisconsin, you know, he is positioned in a place where he can pull kids from, you know, the Chicago suburbs. He can get kids out of Milwaukee. He can get kids out of, you know, Madison, the Fox Valley area. And then that area surrounding Whitewater is also rich with football talent. So, you know, he's got that program turning like a machine right now. And there's no reason that, you know, you can't continue to see that level of dominance. When I liken what the WIAC is in football, it's a lot in Division III. It's a lot like a Big Ten or an SEC as far as the teams in that, the winner of that conference oftentimes is a major player on the national scene. If you can win the WIAC in Wisconsin, you have, and at the Division III level, you have a good chance of being a team that is going to be a top five team, a national championship caliber team in a lot of sports, and not just football, but also in basketball. They have some great baseball programs in the WIAC. Just a very rich tradition of strong sports at the Division III level in that conference. Yeah, and if you're a parent out there, you're looking for a good university, Division III. If you have an athlete, you know, that you're raising who's a Division III level athlete, and you're looking for a quality school, look at some of those WIAC schools. Again, there's quality athletics there across the board, very competitive, one of the best conferences athletics-wise in the nation, hands down. I don't care what part of the country you go to, you talk about the WIAC, they're going to know teams from it. And they're going to know the quality of talent that exists there and the quality program that they have.
And one of the things about Coach Leipold, his preparation in the way in which he approaches his preparation is part of his secret sauce. If you have a chance to go on YouTube, actually one of the students there did a project on, you know, what it takes to build a champion, just kind of talking about his week of preparation, how he approaches things, how he gets after that pedigree that he has in terms of all the stops he's made along the line are adding up to this. But you cannot, I mean, when you think about his record as a coach in a very difficult conference, as Game Changer pointed out, I mean, 72-3,
that's ridiculous. It really is. I know the listeners out there who aren't from Wisconsin don't understand that, but it is extremely difficult to do in that conference because it is such a deep, deep conference. But, yeah, he's got, like I said, he's got the ball rolling. it means a lot to that community. It means a lot to that area of the state. It brings a sense of pride. When you're in a small town like a Whitewater, Wisconsin, and you have a program like that, it really does become a community, grassroots, really grounded thing where everyone in the community is really engaged. They're contributing in their own way by showing up to games, by, like as you said, buying sweatshirts, you know, calling people that they know and really kind of encouraging kids around the area to work to get to UW-Whitewater and really looking at it as a viable option for their own children to be a part of. And everybody wants to be a part of it. And once you have that going, man, that's the fuel that keeps the machine humming right there.
I mean, how you build a program, how you build winners, you know, this is a classic example of how you do it. And these things are transferable. This is a coach that you're going to hear more about in the future.
Yeah, I want to pull PAZ in real quick because he just jumped back in. PAZ, any real quick reflections on what you heard from Coach Leipold?
I want winners.
I agree. I was going to hit the button myself.
I tell you what, fellas, you know, I just got off the phone with Coach Leipold, quality guy. You know, and I told him, hey, 72-3 over five seasons, you guys are putting up video game numbers. You know, in NCAA football 2012 on the PS3, I don't think I can go 72-3 on the easiest setting on the video game. So, you know, hats off. I'm extremely impressed with what they're doing. If they're doing the right way, the kids are buying in. You know, Devon and I and Marcus, we were all Texan when they were in the national championship past winners. I certainly see the connection to the city, and I mean, it's just so impressive what they're getting done. And you know, I mean, this is one of the reasons that we started this show, to be able to highlight the great coaches across the country. And there's no doubt that Coach Leipold is one of the best coaches in the business, regardless of the division.